Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Appreciate everybody's prayers for us while we were gone. We did have a good time, but I'm glad to be back. And I was feeling pretty rough this morning, but I'm not doing too bad now. Weather kind of gets to us a little bit in our bones and everything else, but it's just good to be here with God's people. I missed y'all. And I hope you had as good a time on my vacation as I did. I hope you're as glad that I came back as I am glad I came back. Matthew chapter 16. We're preaching on the soul. And God allowed me several weeks ago to just spend most of a Saturday going through the whole Bible, looking at all the verses that pertain to the soul of man, what that is, how it works, what it is, what it is not, the things that it does. And it was a blessing to just... It was not time wasted, I guarantee you. But it was a blessing to me to learn these things. Some of them I learned for the first time. And then the double blessing was that God pretty much gave me the notes and the meat for sermons to preach. I guess I'm not sure if I put this together even before we thought about going on vacation. But with homecoming and everything like that, you know, I just don't have the time to study like I normally do. And God just put all this together. And I was going through it all last night. I was looking at some of the things that God had shown me from His Word about the soul of man. And I was rejoicing in it. And there are some things that I'm going to say today that's going to be, I'm going to try to provoke you to think. I want you to think on these things. I want you to think about what the Word of God says. And something that I never really knew up until I did this study. I never really understood certain things until I read the Scriptures on it. And then I can tell you there's some things coming up that if God allows me to finish this series, there's some things that I'm going to show you from the Bible that it'll encourage you, it'll help you, but it may be a warning to you. All right? So I want you to think about that. Last Sunday we talked about the difference between the soul and the flesh of man, and God does not redeem the flesh. We're going to bury this thing. Get this rascal out of here. Amen. Let him go into corruption. Let the old man die off so God can bring in the new man. And I'm looking forward to that day. So just kind of keep all these things in mind. And I'm going to show you today from your Bible what your soul does on a daily basis. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Are we there? Say amen. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross has everything to do with your flesh. It needs to die. It's corrupt. Needs to be killed off so that God can bring who you really are on the inside out to the surface. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One of the things I'm going to tell you now, and I'm not sure when I'm going to preach this yet, but this is as clear to me as anything, and I have the verses to back it up. And I want you to listen to this. Well, as it pertains to this verse right here, what shall it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you might want to write this down somewhere. Your soul, or let me put it this way, your flesh will either condemn your soul, or your soul will condemn your flesh. You choose. That's your choice. You can either let your flesh drag your soul down to hellfire, or your soul can say, I'm not going with you. This is where I get off the train, right here. I'm done. I've got another place to go to. There's no way in the world I'm going to follow that nasty flesh down to where it's going. Somebody say amen. Either your flesh will condemn your soul, or your soul will condemn your flesh. And you think about that in the context, in the light of verse 26. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Think of Esau. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. You ponder that. You think about that. You've got a day in God's courtroom headed your way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. You pray for me. God will help me preach this, all right? I'm not sure how to preach it. You pray that God will let me say things that will glorify Him, that will help us this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm glad to be here. God, this place that You've given us here, Lord, is not something that we've earned. It's not something that we deserve. Lord, it is something that You have given to us as a free gift by inheritance. Lord, there have been men who stood before me in years gone by that have stood with this old book in their hand and they preached the Word of God. There's been saints, God, sitting in pews all over this world that have listened to and said amen to the sermons and the Word that was given forth. God, most of those people are with You right now in heaven. Lord, that's where we want to be. And Father, I pray, dear God, that You'd help us get there. Lord, help us, God, carry us along. Move us along. Drag us, Lord, if You have to, Lord. We don't want to die and go to hell. We want to go to heaven. We want to spend eternity with You, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the saints above. Lord, that is where we want to be, Father. Lord, and help us, God, to understand and realize every day that we walk this earth, help us, dear God, to understand there is not a thing in this world that is worth losing our soul. Lord, when our body dies, it won't know anything. It won't feel anything. Lord, help our soul to live with You forever. Because, Lord, that's who we really are on the inside. That's where You dwell. That's where You've helped us, God. That's where You bless us and feed us. So, Lord, give us understanding of that and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I'm going to mind the Lord and turn to Romans chapter 7. You turn there with me. I don't have any notes on that, but that's just what was in my heart. And as you're turning to Romans 7, let me go through a couple things real quick so you kind of know where I'm going with this. And what I'm going to show you this morning is that your soul is the real and true source of the most important things that you have ever done in your life. When you hear someone say, you know, I married my soulmate. I mean, what that means is that the marriage of these two people goes beyond the romance, the physical attraction, the blessing of having someone there, physically having someone. You can have someone hang around you that you hate their guts all their life. Amen. You know, you can do that. But when God brings you someone that your soul and that person's soul is drawn together, I believe in that. Because I found out from the Word of God that it is your soul that is the source of the most important decisions that you have made and will make in your life. And up there on the screen, when you pray, it is your soul that prays. Leave your stupid flesh out of it. Let me tell you something. Let me kind of just wander in this field for a little bit. 99% of the quote-unquote Christianity that you see on television and Christian radio shows and all that stuff is nothing more than appealing to the flesh and the wicked flesh and the lust of mankind in order for you to send the money in. I want to hear God's people say amen to that. That's what that nonsense is all about. They will tell your flesh what your flesh wants to hear. They will appeal to your flesh. They will appeal to your lust, to your desires, to your pride. They will appeal to all those things, and it has absolutely nothing to do with pure Bible Christianity. You cannot praise God and adore God in your flesh. Your flesh has already made God very mad. You have made God upset with the things that you've done. So quit trying to think that, if I do this and I say this and I make these gestures and I do all this nonsense, that's going to praise God, that's going to bring God into my life, and I'm going to invoke God. Don't fall for it. The real, genuine prayers that you pray are going to come from your heart, your inner being, your soul. Psalm 16:2. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. You know what he's talking about? He's showing you the difference between his flesh and his soul. My soul said to God, thou art my Lord. Your flesh hates God because your flesh hates His commandments. Thou shalt not steal. You saw it, you took it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You looked And in your mind, your wicked mind, you already did the deal. Don't, listen, if you're going to pray, you're going to ask God for things, leave your flesh out of it. Now, God will clothe you, God will feed you, God does it with the sparrows every day. Somebody say amen. God adorns them. Solomon in all his glory was not near as enough adorned as God adorns His creation. God is going to take care of you. God's going to get you from this life to the next. But leave your flesh and your wicked desires out of your prayer. God will start helping you. God will start answering prayers that you can't even think to pray. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Psalm 116:4. Then called I upon the Lord. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Don't ask God to deliver your flesh. Don't ask God to enhance the physical desires of your flesh. When you pray, let it come right out of your soul. God will hear you and God will bless that. The soul is the source of genuine praise. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy... Notice that He said all that is where? Within me. That's your soul, not your flesh. People will choose a church because of what they see with their eyes, or hear with their ears, or experience in their emotions. They will choose a church because the lighting is good. They will choose a church because the music pounds and beats, and it's music they like to hear. And I've had people tell me, Pastor Mike, well, we like your messages, but we go to this church over here. We really like the music over there. What's wrong with singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? Who's supposed to play it in G, sometimes you play it in G flat. There's nothing wrong with that. Your flesh has made a decision to override the needs of your soul, and they choose a church or they choose someone to follow that appeals to their flesh, and it overrides their soul, and their soul is trying to cry out. God won't hear it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Verse 22, same chapter. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 104:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Verse 35, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. That's your flesh. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. That's me. Let this wicked flesh be no more, God. I hate it. Bless Thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. My flesh has never rejoiced in God. My flesh... And I was thinking about this yesterday. If it wasn't for Christ and His Word in my life, my mind is incapable of thinking pure things outside of Jesus Christ, His Word, my family, you people here, the work He's given us. We just don't have it in this part of our bodies. We don't have it. It's not there, and it will never be there. That's why your grandma and grandpa died. That's why your mom and dad died. That's why all your cousins, aunts and uncles, children, grandchildren, that's why they're all dead. It's because their flesh cannot praise God. God didn't want it in there. It gets in the way sometimes. Amen? I'll tell you, a church that'll praise God, they'll be down on their knees. They'll be weeping. They'll be sobbing before God. They'll be crying out to God. They'll be repenting of wicked things to God. That's the church that's honoring and praising God. You believe in that? Say amen. Luke chapter 1, even Mary said, my soul, I didn't hit the button right. My soul doth magnify the Lord, not her flesh. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Psalm 34, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now there's an upcoming sermon in this verse. My soul, now David is the one who wrote this. David, the man, macho David. Whooped giants. That kind of guy. He called his soul her. That's not a mistake in your Bible. And I'm going to show you that. I almost can't wait to get to that one. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now I'm going to ask you a question. We're here in Romans 7. We're going to look at some things. I want to ask you a question. How many of you can righteously acknowledge and say that your physical flesh has done great things for God? I can't and I won't. It never has. The things that I have done for the Lord or things that I have done right in life, I drug this body kicking and screaming and scratching and clawing all the way. When I made my way down to an altar of prayer, my flesh wanted to stay in that pew. My soul kept saying, let's go, come on, let's go, let's get down there. We need to pray. Flesh was saying, will everybody know I did something wrong? Soul said, well, you did. Your soul, and let me just, I'll just put it to you like that, because I know, listen, I remember what it's like. And still, when I go to like camp meetings down here in Harrison and other places, I get preached at. And I still know the conflict of someone who sits in the pew and God's dealing with them. God's dealing with that person. And their soul is crying out to God, 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 I want help. God, and God's saying, come on, man, let's pray. Let's get somebody else in on it too. And your flesh is going, we're not going to do that. We're not going to tell everybody else what's going on. That is not going to happen. I'm going to rebel against that. How many of you experienced that battle? Say amen. I've been there. Still get there. Okay? And I'm just telling you, you cannot, your soul, your flesh has not, you cannot boast of one thing in the flesh. No boasting. The people that do are lying through their teeth. Let me ask you a question. All these guys on TBN asking for money, telling you that God's going to just funnel all this money into your bank account. Let me ask you a question. How much money does your soul spend on itself on a weekly basis? You ever thought about that? When you bought groceries, how many cans of Campbell's soup did you buy for your soul? Zero. How many clothes do you buy for your soul? How many pairs of shoes do your soul need? In fact, who is it that adorns your soul or is supposed to? Christ. Not us. Every good thing that has ever happened to you, in you, or through you to other people has been God doing that through your soul. You can make your boast of your soul. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Psalm 35:9. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. But my flesh does not. I battled. Like we come in yesterday afternoon. I was tired. I was wore out. I was emotional. Bones ache. Get up this morning. God woke me up early this morning. I didn't know it was raining. But boy, I hurt. Flesh said, tell them you ain't going to be there. Tell them. You're having a physical emergency. It's an attack. You need to be rushed to the hospital. Don't go to church. My soul said, shut up. You fool. We need to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Listen, if the preacher has it going on, everybody else does too. Now, Romans 7. Let me show you this. Let's start in verse 11. Paul in Romans 7, and if you can get a hold of this, listen, I promise you, if you can get a hold of this, this will carry you through to cross Jordan's River into God's promised land. I promise you it will. If you'll understand this, because let me tell you something. You're going to be like I was. You're going to be wandering in the wilderness asking yourself, how come I'm not perfect? How come I still have the same greed, the same avarice, the same maliciousness, the same wickedness? How come I still have the enemy? I'm supposed to be saved. I'm supposed to be born again. I'm supposed to have a different nature in me. The reason is God has taken you now and He has given you a good thing inside of you. It is Jesus Christ and His Word and His Spirit and His blood atonement and His suffering on the cross and all of these good things. Your soul loves the Bible. Amen. Oh, your soul loves. Listen, your soul will read that book and your soul, I'm going to preach on that too, your soul will feed on the Word of God and boy, you'll just say, man, that is good. And your flesh just kind of hangs there, waits for you to get over it. Amen? Okay? Now I'm just saying to you, what God needs to show you, yes, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Yes, God has put His indwelling Spirit in you. Yes, your soul loves to hear Bible preaching, loves to hear and read the Word of God. I mean, it gets turned on to that. But then you've got this other nature in you. Romans 7 teaches you the dual nature. Go study the two birds that Noah released out of the ark. One was a raven. What do ravens eat? Ravens love flesh. There was a dove in there too. Doves love what? Seeds. That's your Bible. You see that? In the same ark, there was a raven and a dove. I was listening to some preachers talk one time and they was kind of talking about that. And one of the preachers asked, well, if I got both a raven and a dove in me, how does it work? Which one wins out? The preacher said, depends on which one you're feeding. And watch this. Romans 7. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. That's your flesh. Verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. How many commandments did Adam have? By the time it gets to Moses, how many we got? God exploded sin. Made it exceeding sinful. Made it big. You know what He did? He made it more powerful than your flesh is. Made it more powerful. Moses represents the law, correct? Do you remember when Israel was fighting that army? I can't remember which one it was. They were fighting that army and Moses was up on the hill and he found out that if he held his arms up, that all that time, the armies of Israel prevailed. But how long can you hold your arms up? Melissa, do you remember Mr. Bradley, Dennis Bradley, teacher at Festus Junior High School? If you got a suspension after school, had to stay after school, usually it's 30, 45 minutes, something like that. He said, however, I will shorten that. He handed us two dictionaries and he said, if you hold these out now for 5 minutes, you can go. All you got to do is hold two dictionaries out, straight out, 5 minutes. You can walk and then your suspension will be over with. Not one. You can't even hold your arms out straight for 5 minutes unless you are really conditioned and trained. Watch this. Moses, how many fingers have I got up here? Commandments. There's the law right here. What's wrong with Moses? He's weak. Let me tell you something. You might hold up for a while. It won't last. Who in here knows that? Say amen. There's a whole other sermon on that. I'm not going to preach it. But that is your flesh. Moses was weak. God was showing us that. We want God's law to prevail in our life. Our soul does. But our flesh can't handle it. So now watch this. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. You know the Ten Commandments are right. Say amen. You've told your flesh over and over, we're not going to do that no more. Right? Right? God, if you'll get me out of this mess, I promise you I'll keep all and obey all your commandments. God, that's what I'll do. Didn't work. Your flesh is rebellious. Deliberately. Paul said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Let me tell you one of the sure signs that you are in fact saved. And God's Spirit indwells in you. Is when you abhor the desires, the greed, the pride, everything that goes on in your flesh. You hate it. Because you see what it does to you. You see what it does to your family. You see what it does to you, to the people you work with, the people you hang with. You see what it does between you and God, and you hate it. Paul said, but what I hate, that I do. And you might think, what a hypocrite. No, he's being honest. Now again, you think of Paul. Paul, your greatest preacher in the world, greatest evangelist in the world, greatest missionary in the world, greatest Bible author in the Bible. More books written by Paul than anybody else. And I'm telling you, Paul did it. Paul dealt with it too. He had dual nature. He had one thing going on in his flesh. He had another thing going on in his soul. Let me tell you something. As long as you've got that other thing going on in your soul, you're in good shape. Let me put it to you like this. A woman, she starts going to church. She realizes things aren't right. Women usually softer than men. And she'll come to the Lord and she'll confess her sins, and all of a sudden now she wants her family right with God. She wants her husband right. She wants her children right. Children, well, they ain't got no choice. They're going to Sunday school whether they like it or not. She can't get that husband to go. He won't go. And while she's trying to live right, he's doing everything he can to just rebel against that. He not only is not going to church, but more than likely, he's out running around, he's out drinking, he's out stoning himself, he's out doing this and he's out doing that. And he hates her. He despises her for trying to live a righteous life. And he's trying to work the kids against her. He's doing everything he can to try to bring her over to his side. Am I right in this? That woman's got a choice between two things. Let that husband do what he's going to do. I'm going to follow God no matter what. Or, I can't take it anymore. If he's going to be that way, I might as well be that way too. And now him and her both locked in that same misery. And they'll die that way. Does that make sense to everybody? That's you. Your soul makes that choice to either follow Jesus or follow your flesh. So now let's look at it some more. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Raise your hand and say amen if you think thou shalt not steal is good. Raise your hand. Thou shalt not kill. Raise your hand. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Raise your hand. That's good, isn't it? That'll bless your marriage. That'll bless your children. Thou shalt not covet. That's good, isn't it? Be content with such things as you have. Amen? For all this stuff is going to pass away one of these days. All these little empires you're trying to build, they're going to be gone one of these days. Be content with it. You've consented that you know the fact that God's law is good. However, your flesh says, I have a voice here, and I don't think these laws and commandments are right. I think, listen to this now, you're the rebel. You're the James Dean rebel. Rules were made to be broken. Right? I'm not getting after guys that ride motorcycles. Get your biker vest on, your Budweiser, get on your Harley, your hog, run, born to be wild, and boy, you just take off. That's your flesh. Your flesh says, I'm not going to live that way. He said, verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Raise your hand and say amen if that's you. Everybody, you're on camera. It's a testimony now. Everybody saw you do it. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Let me tell you something that the lost people of this world are sick and tired of. They're sick and tired of Christians, people, church people, making like we don't ever do anything wrong because we're church members. They're sick of it because they know better. And you start inviting them to church, and all of a sudden they're saying, well, I ain't going to go with that. At least I'm going to be honest. You know what Jerry Lee Lewis said one time about contemporary Christian music being played in churches? You know what he said? Now, you all know Jerry Lee Lewis, right? Mr. Rock and Roll. Practically invented it. Jerry Lee Lewis said, they're playing the devil's music in the church. I'm playing the devil's music. At least I'm honest about it. That's what he said. Time for you to get honest. For the good, verse 19, that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Remember the husband and the wife. As long as the wife is going against the husband in that wickedness, everything's cool, everything's good between you and God. So he says, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that's your soul. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. I want to hear you out loud say it as your public testimony. The first 6 words of verse 24. Say it with me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I used to be. Back in the day. Right now. You are. Okay? Now, watch this. Your soul is the source of your decisions. I'm going to move to this because there's one thing I want to get to. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, David said. Psalm 57, for my soul trusteth in thee. Your soul made the decision to believe God's word. Psalm 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God. It's your soul doing it. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Then he said in Psalm 63, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Boy, I was going to preach on that, and I just don't feel led to do it this morning. Psalm 119, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, doth my soul keep them. Listen, your soul keeps God's word. Amen! You are righteous and going to heaven because the inward man in you is separate now from the flesh. And while your flesh hates God's law, your soul says, I'll keep them. Amen. My soul, that you made that decision in your soul. Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord. That is a decision that you made. Now watch this. I'm getting to it. Isaiah 26:9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. You know what that means? That means when you laid down and you went to bed, your body's wore out. Your soul is wide awake and it starts praying. You know, I'm one of these that believes that you don't have to open your mouth to pray. You can. I believe in that too. But let me tell you something. I told God one day, April 1st, 2006, that I wasn't ready to die and did not want to leave my wife and my children. And I couldn't utter a word of it because I was being electrocuted. And that's what's wrong. A lot of my pain today is from that 10 years ago. My lips were paralyzed. But it was my soul that said, God, not today. Not today. That was what my soul wanted. Because my mind had already reckoned, you're dead, man. Right now, no one knows you're under here. No one's going to save you. You're a dead man. I knew it. When you lay your head down at night, your soul is praying. And your flesh just wanders off to sleep. Don't worry about it. Amen? Because God wasn't waiting for your flesh to wake up anyway. Acts chapter 3. Let me just read this real quick. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you out of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. The soul has to hear it, not your flesh. Now, watch this now. I do not know if what I'm about to say 100% is right. Okay? I can't say it 100%. But I'm going to read you two verses in the Bible that lead me to believe that the decision that a person makes to either continue their life or end their own life is made in their soul. Now, I cannot say that one. I cannot say this is thus saith the Lord. But it puzzles us, doesn't it? It puzzles us when someone deliberately ends their life. We wonder, why? How did that? What happened? We wonder that. Your flesh has instantaneous reactions to threats. Does it not? You have responses in your body. Fight or flight, you know what that is? Something happens and you're either going to hit somebody real hard or you're going to run real fast. That's automatic. You don't even think about it. Boom! Something's different about you. You're like Popeye now. Your body has self-defense mechanisms all in it. Blinking. Sneezing is getting stuff out of you. You don't have any control over that. Defense mechanisms. You guard yourself with your arms, your hands. I saw a test done on Lindsay when she was a little baby. And the doctor just took her and just went like that. And automatically her arms came out like that. And I'm going, he said, she's normal. And I said, well, she ain't my kid then, I can tell you that. I think the decision to override the flesh's own will to live. Let me show you this. Now I'm going to let you go. Job 7. Turn there. Job 7, Job 10. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to let you dwell on it. Alright? Job 7, verse 11. Boy, if anybody had a reason to die, it was Job. Not only did he have it in his flesh, he had three buddies that were saying, Job, curse God and die and get this over with. You're miserable. Okay? Well, that's something when you got three friends telling you, Job, here, take this pistol. Okay? Trust me, you'll feel better. Look at this. Job 7:11. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my what? Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifies me through visions. Verse 15, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live it alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. It says here that his soul would rather have himself strangled and killed than to continue to live. Now, look at chapter 10, verse 1. It says it again. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, I do not know who this is to. I don't know if it's anybody here, anybody there, anybody out in Kenya. The decision to take your life into your own hands and end your life, that is the biggest decision that a person can ever make. And I want you to hear me out. I'm not going to give you all the reasons why. I do not ever recommend suicide for any reason, in any way. Now, fighting a battle for somebody, taking a bullet for somebody, that's different. Samson did not commit suicide. He was fighting a war, and he won the battle and lost his life. We've got guys sitting in graves right now who have done that very same thing, and they should be honored. Let me hear you say amen. Christ did that. He didn't commit suicide. Three people in the Bible that I know of did. Saul was one of them. Judas Iscariot was the other one. There's another one. But both Saul and Judas, both of them, God had left them, and devils were torturing them nonstop. And they chose to end their own life. That decision was made in their soul. That's what I think the Bible's saying. I don't know if this is for you. I don't know who this is for. I don't even know if it's for today. Let me tell you something. My soul has already chosen death for this body. But I'm going to wait for God to do that and not me. And listen to me. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I know. You don't know every place I've been. You don't know every thought I've thought. You know, one of the biggest reasons why I promote this Bible to everybody that I speak to, this Bible talked me out of it. I found out that there is hope in Christ when there is no hope anywhere else. My soul made the decision. Mike, do you trust God? I will. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to let God do what He wants to do, because God has never been bad to me. Your soul makes that decision, not your flesh. So let your soul decide. God, whenever you're ready, you take me out. And I'm going to leave that up to you. And whatever you do to me from here to glory, I'm going to leave that up to you too, because you've always been kind and good to me, far better than I deserve. Let me hear everybody say amen on both sides.